In 1922, a crack Aberdonian was appointed Director General of a new British broadcasting institution. This man promptly sat down and defined three principles in accordance with which a public service broadcaster should operate. Today, still listened to by millions, they survive quite nicely indeed, thank you. If you want a podcast, if you've already exhausted what they have to offer, and if you can find it, maybe you should listen to Inform, Educate, and Entertain.
Yes, welcome to Inform, Educate, Entertain. It's the series finale of the podcast panel show for everyone who loves panel shows but wishes they ran to 8 episodes a series and then had a bit of a break. My name is Sam Wilkinson, and every week on the show I give 3 comedians the chance to interview for a job in my strange little broadcast company. It's like Radio 4, but it's half rubbish, half amazing, listened to by a very specific subset of the population, and run by a bunch of self-congratulatory snobs. So it's just like Radio 4. Yeah, take that, Radio 4, and also me. This week I've reached a point of the script where I normally do a series of incredibly tortured puns before revealing that the job my candidates are applying for is a slight misdirect from what the puns were leading towards. But this week the job is so obscure that even if I led you straight at it, you'd just say, bloody hell, what? That's a job, is it? Christ. Suffice it to say that the really long-running radio soap opera which reveals the revels and rituals of real rural residentials shows the harm which can come to farmers if they don't arm themselves with farm ecological products for their herds of sheep and cows, and has storylines about the local vicars with dodgy tickers losing their knickers as they go to burn the wicker, men, which airs on my station at 7 p.m. every night, omnibus on Sunday mornings, is rapidly running out of believable farm-based storylines. So we're looking for an agricultural storylines advisor! It's a real job on the Archers, and if you didn't know that, then you're not cool enough for my podcast. Get out! Over 3 potentially exciting rounds, my guests will be made to inform, educate, or entertain me for points. Anytime I feel one of those things, I will give them a point by ringing this bell. Ding! By which I mean, I will later edit in this sound of a bell. Ding! Whoever gets the most points gets the job, and the others get the welly boot. Let's meet my 3 atlases of agricultural acumen. They are a comedian, MC and quiz show expert, a TV producer who can do an excellent impression of a tram, and the poor man's Joe Brand. It's Adam Tumber, Tom Solon and Kerry Robinson. Just before we start the show for real, there's a chance to score some early points with our dead studio audience. Perhaps soon the host of The Undead will stop following me around, making mean comments about my home haircut and undermining me when I'm doing podcasts. But until then, my candidates have one last chance to add one person to this horde. Already in the room, we have Victoria Wood, Anne of Cleves, Emma Crossan's grandad Alan, Des O'Connor, Freddie Mercury, Clement Freud, Jim Henson, Alan Rickman, Alfred the Great, Josephine Nevison, Wallace, Duchess of Windsor, Terry Wogan, Louis Le Prince, Chrysippus of Solly, Alan Corrin, Sigmund Freud, Ari Brayley, Grumpy Cat, Maria Montessori, Queen Mary I, and Steve Irwin. Oh, one take. That was pretty good.
That's good.
This is where I'm relieved because I don't know any of the other 20 people other than the person that I did last time. And I was thinking, please don't pick someone that's already been done because I really don't want to have to improv it.
You don't know Steve Irwin? We'll have words later. Adam, who are you adding to the master ranks of the undead this week?
For this week, I've gone with a bit of extra security for you. The guy I'm putting in for you is someone who was a well-known raconteur, very talented actor, been in some wonderful, basically some of the biggest, geekiest franchises there are. He was in The Lord of the Rings, he was in Star Wars, and the villain in many of the Hammer horror films. It is, of course, the one and only Sir Christopher Lee.
Oh,
I figured he'd be a good choice for you because he must have had some incredible stories. I mean, this is a guy who could directly trace his lineage all the way back to Charlemagne, which I think is pretty impressive, and also signed up for the Finnish army before the Second World War because it didn't start early enough for him. He thought he'd get a head start by joining the Finnish army.
Adam, that is the first time somebody scored 3 points on the dead person round. And may I say, well-deserved, because I've been giving the dead people more of a creepy undead theme every week, and now Christopher Lee's shown up to lead them all.
Yeah.
What a plot twist!
Yeah?
Kerry, who have you brought along?
I've actually gone theme-wise about, you know, agriculture and things, and she's a bit of a hero of mine. Can anyone remember Hannah Hawkswell? Silence. So, back in the 70s and 80s. She was this woman that lived in the Yorkshire Dales and ran a farm. She lived on her own. There was no running water or electricity. She lived this really impoverished life out on the Dales, and she became like a really unlikely celebrity. And Yorkshire Television sort of took her under the wing, sent her off on trips to Europe and stuff, things that she'd never seen in life. A bit of a hero, because just this really quite harsh life that she lived on the Yorkshire Dales in this dilapidated farm.
That's 2 points, Kerry. Tom Solon, who will be the final entrant to my horrific undead horde for this series?
Well, I'm a bit worried because I didn't realise there were any points in this round. I just thought it was just a silly feature. And I'm also worried because I didn't choose a dead person.
Well, yeah, that is going to be a problem.
We can sort that out.
But I've got a reason for not choosing a dead person, because I'm a bit worried about dead people coming back to life and stuff and zombies. I don't want that. So I thought, who do I want to be dead? I'm going to choose Donald Trump, just because I'd like him to be dead. Luckily, I do know a Donald Trump fact, so this might help.
Okay, let's have it.
Donald Trump was born on the same day as his dad and the same day as his granddad.
Ooh. Yeah, that is a good fact. You can have a point for that.
Brilliant.
Can I just interject?
You can interject.
I was also born on the same day as my dad.
All right. I'm going to interject. Unfortunately, Donald Trump wasn't born on the same day as his dad and his granddad. I just panicked because I didn't have any facts about Donald Trump. You've given me the point now, so...
Well, it's a good job. It's a made-up show and there's no real prize at the end of it. Especially because you put Donald Trump in as the final person on my dead studio audience. I'm not happy with that at all.
I actually forgot one of my facts about Sir Christopher Lee. He actually witnessed the final ever public execution in France.
That's a great fact, but you're not having another.
No, I didn't think I would, so I thought I'd tell you anyway.
Inform, educate, and entertain.
Maybe in series two I'll get a jingle which stirs the heart and sets everyone up for the excitement to come. Or maybe I'll commission my sad jingle robot, Jingletron 5000, to come up with something even slower. Thanks, Jingletron 5000. You tried, and that's what matters. Just like the passing of the plough reveals all the worms and bugs and stuff that live in the mud under your crops, so too is round one about revealing the murky truth beneath ordinary things. Each week on round one, I give my candidates a perfectly simple question to answer in a perfectly complicated way, and this week continues that tradition. It's a question that the whole of Ambridge is talking about this week as we ask, what links animals and farms? Kerry, why don't you go first?
Animals are described as a living organism which feed on organic matter, typically having specialised sense organs and nervous systems and able to respond to stimuli. Aristotle historically separated animals into those with blood and those without blood.
Ooh.
Don't know why. He made many of these observations during his stay on the island of Lesbos in Greece. This is where the term lesbian comes from, which refers to homosexual women. The most famous lesbian is Ellen DeGeneres, who wrote and starred in the sitcom Ellen in the 90s. And Jolie Fisher played her best friend Paige. Jolie Fisher is half-sister of Star Wars star Carrie Fisher. Famously wore a gold bikini, which kick-started many teenage nerds' sexual awakenings. The bikini was introduced in 1946 by Jacques Haine, but his two-piece suit did not have the navel exposed. Louis Linard created this a month later. Not sure what an engineer is doing in designing clothes, but anyway. In some cultures, the navel is seen as sexually and culturally significant, and its exposure can be seen as taboo. Taboo was a nightclub that artist Lee Bowery put on in the 1980s. Boy George used to attend this nightclub. Boy George used to confuse dads when he appeared on Top of the Pops in the 1980s due to his androgynous appearance. Androgyny is a combination of masculine and feminine characteristics into an ambiguous form. Femininity is a set of attributes, behaviours and roles generally associated with women. The 8th of March is marked as International Women's Day. And before any man asks, International Man's Day is the 19th of November. Just ask Richard Herring. Richard Herring played a crow in Hister's Eye, a pretend children's section on This Morning with Richard, Not Judy. Crows are massive dicks of birds. They bully other birds and also steal crops. To stop crops being stolen to scare off birds, scarecrows are often placed in fields, and these are typically found on farms.
Kerry, terrific work.
Thanks.
15 points. One of the highest opening scores we've had all series.
Amazing.
I do just want to question one point.
Mm-hmm.
The most famous lesbian is Ellen DeGeneres.
Apparently. I Googled it.
All right, fair enough if you Googled it. Thank you very much, Kerry. Let's go over to Tom.
Animal from The Muppets was voiced by Frank Oz, who went on to voice Yoda from Star Wars. Neither of these characters had a great grasp of the English language, which has over 170,000 words, the best of which is twat, meaning a stupid or obnoxious person or a woman's genitals. Twat is also a famous poem by punk poet Dr. John Cooper Clarke, who was awarded a doctorate after spending 17 years addicted to heroin. Not because he was addicted to heroin, it was because of his poem, I think. Heroin is actually a brand name and was initially designed as a non-addictive form of morphine, which people were getting hooked on in the early 1900s. You could buy heroin in Harrods. You can still buy drugs in Harrods at their pharmacy. Pharmaceutical companies generate £1.2 trillion a year, 47% of which is from the USA in an industry known as Big Pharma. USA is itself a big pharma, containing the highest number of the world's farms.
Very well played indeed, Tom. That's 11 points, which is very good. I think anything above 9 is very good for a first-time player.
Oh, thanks.
Well done, well done. I say that as though, you know, there's any skill to it and or any reason behind the points I hand out. It's all heavily arbitrary, but I had a lovely time, so 11
points. Just making sure, it might be a bit late now, but we can say twat, right?
The more time you spend with Sam, the more inevitable it is.
Adam Tumber, you've piped up. Blow us away.
Animals. There was a band called The Animals who were known for such songs as The House of the Rising Sun. Now, The House of the Rising Sun was a tale about a gambling man down in New Orleans. However, despite this obvious acumen about the city of New Orleans, the animals themselves were, like Anton Deck, from the city of Newcastle. Now, Newcastle is named after a new castle, built in 1060 by Robert Curthose, who was related to William the Conqueror. The Newcastle coat of arms actually features a pair of rampant seahorses, not with each other, on opposite sides. There's four castles, a lion, and not a single steak bake. Seahorses, notable in nature, of course, it is the male that carries the babies to term. In fact, the whole process starts with a female laying the eggs in the male's pouch, and then he goes off and does some work for a change. Seahorses as well, notoriously poor swimmers, which means that you often see them, even in tanks with very little current, actually holding on to stalks of seaweed and stuff so they don't get swept away. Some species of seahorses are such poor swimmers that actually they are probably slower than rush hour traffic on the M62. The Latin name for the seahorse is the hippocampus, which of course gives its name to a similarly shaped area of the brain responsible for both short and long-term memory. It's also responsible for both short and long-term memory. Memory, of course, is a song performed by the character Grisabella in the stage musical Cats. Despite the obviously terrible nature of the film version, the actual musical version is the sixth longest running in London's West End and is based on Old Possum's book of Practical Cats by the author and poet T.S. Eliot. T.S. Eliot also wrote The Wasteland, which despite its name isn't a poem about the Isle of Sheppey in Kent, home to several holiday camps, a naturist beach, and not one, not two, but three prison camps. Sheppey itself takes its name from the Old English meaning Sheep Island. Sheep Island is probably a name that could also be given to New Zealand, which is the world's largest exporter of lamb. New Zealand, a fabulous country as it is, holds a Bird of the Year competition. It's been won twice by the current 2020 incumbent, the Kakapo, the world's heaviest and only flightless parrot, of which only 206 adults remain in the world, making it critically endangered. The Kakapo owes its endangered status to invasive species brought there by man, unlike the Bornean and Sumatran orangutans, who owe their status to habitat loss, as humans have cleared forests to create land for farms.
Oh, yeah, farms.
No.
Got there in the end.
Sorry, I got so caught up in facts that I stopped listening for the word farm. Adam, a classical player of the game, you always stuff your presentations with facts. to the exclusion of anything else, including breathing, spare words. You've scored 20 points on the way in there, so fantastic play. Which does mean that the scores going into round two look something like this. Bringing up the rear on 11 points, it's Tom Solon. Applause, woo. Just me, all right. Second place on 17 points, Kerry Robinson. And in the lead on 23 points, it's Mr. Adam Tumba. But it's all to play for as we go straight into round two.
The Worthy Drama Round.
Yes, round two is the Worthy Drama Round. Just like you can hear the exciting drama that takes place in rural Borsetshire every weeknight at 7 p.m. So too can you hear the exciting drama that takes place in our candidates' heads right now. Last week I gave each of my candidates an agricultural title and sent them off to write an informative, educational and entertaining play for us all to perform now. There's bonus points on offer for the best acting, so I want some Linda Snell worthy stuff. That's because she puts the plays on in The Archers.
Ah.
The only snag is that we've reached the end of the series and my usually rubbish play titles are even worse today. Kerry, what was your play title?
It was Farm Go.
Farm Go.
Farm Go.
At this point in proceedings, I'm forced to drop this note in the edit to make the following statement. Fargo is a film set in North Dakota, a region of the US with a very distinctive accent, which none of the cast of this programme, four people from the north of England, are equipped to handle. Nor, it transpired, are they equipped to handle any of the other accents they attempted instead. IEE formally apologises to the following regions for its mangling of their traditional modes of speech. The Midwestern United States, the West Country, Ireland, Texas, the West Country again, Merseyside, the West Country for a third time, Austria, and the north of England.
Down on his luck farmer, Jerry Lundgaard, has a bright idea of arranging to have his wealthy father-in-law's prize bull, Angus, kidnapped by two shady men. Angus is worth $1.5 million. This is actually true. And is the most expensive farm animal in the world. $1.5 million? Jerry needs to raise the money to buy more land and livestock for his small farm in North Dakota. Scene 1. Seedy bar in a small town. Jerry Lundegaard approaches two men in a booth.
Oi, you Carl Showwater, Shep Proudfoot's friend.
You were meant to be here at 7:30 p.m.
Oh no, I thought 8:30. That's what Shep said.
Well, you're late. Anyway, I'm Carl, and this is my associate, Grimrod.
Carl points to the man sleeping next to him. Grimrod snorts himself awake and stares at Jerry.
Oh, oi. So did Shep tell you the details?
Yeah, you've got a trailer, and we're going to take Angus from the farm and take him up to a hideaway. You're going to arrange a ransom for the bull. Why are you paying your own ransom?
No, my father-in-law owns the bull. He's really rich. He's Wade Gustafson. He'll pay the ransom.
So we split the $80,000 ransom?
Yeah, we do. The trailer's outside with a car. Here are the keys. The job takes place tomorrow while Wade's away from the farm playing golf, okay?
Okay, we know what we're doing. I'll call you once the job's been done and we're sat at our hideaway.
Scene 2. Wade has come to pay Jerry a visit on the morning of the proposed kidnap.
How doing, Wade? How can I help you?
Well, I looked over your proposal of buying more land to farm cattle. You know you need 1 to 2 acres per animal and you want to buy 100 animals. You're going to need about 150 to 200 acres and then buy the cattle and the high-quality pasture. Why don't you go for cheaper mortgage lifters like pigs? Less acres needed and cheaper food. Or stick to what we grow in North Dakota, like dry edible beans, durum, wheat, and lentils.
Well, Wade, I just think beef cattle's worth the investment. We live in the US. The average beef consumption is 58.1 pounds per person, yeah. That could keep me and Gene and Scotty afloat for years. They don't need to worry about money.
Gene and Scotty never need to worry about money. I'll always look after them. Well, I've spoken with my accountant, and he thinks this is a great idea, so I'm willing to lend you the money.
You will? That's amazing. I can't thank you enough, Wade. I'll make this farm as big as Wagoneer Ranch in Texas, the biggest in the USA.
You better.
With that, Wade leaves, Jerry realises he needs to call off the kidnap plans. He called Carl's phone. We see Carl and his accomplice in the Blue Ox Motel, enjoying the local ladies. The phone rings and rings. Jerry hangs up, looking very worried. Scene 3, Wade's Farm. Carl and Grimrod have successfully broken in and stolen Angus the bull. Amazing, I know. However, just as they leave the farm, they are stopped by a farmhand.
So, what are you guys doing, yeah?
We're just picking up a cow to be treated at the vet's.
Oh, yeah. We never knew we had a poorly cow. Can I have a look in the trailer to see which one, yeah?
Just trust us. Here's a sweetener.
Oh, I don't feel good about this one. Let me call Mr. Wade.
Just as he reaches for his phone, Grimrod leans forward and shoots the farmhand in the head. Carl looks aghast.
What did you do that for?
Hey, his accent annoyed me.
They speed out of the farm and make their getaway to the hideaway. Scene 4. It's a few days later, the local police chief, Maggie Gunderson, has been called to investigate the murder of the farmhand. Through tip-off, she discovers two strangers visited the Blue Ox. She's talking to the prostitutes the suspects visited. Okay, so can you describe the guy you saw, yeah?
He was kind of funny looking.
Yeah? How is he funny looking?
You know, just kind of funny looking.
At Jerry's house, Wade is there. He's clearly very worried about his prize bull. Jerry is trying to calm him down.
Well, you know you're worried. The kidnappers have said they'll only deal with me. They said the ransom is $50,000. I need to drop off the money.
It's my money and my damn prize bull. I'm going to drop off the money.
Despite Jerry trying to stop Wade from going, he meets the kidnappers at Kist Livestock, the largest cattle market in North Dakota. Car park is empty. Only one car is there, with Carl sitting in it. Wade gets out of the car with his case full of money. Carl gets out of his car.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Wade Gustafson, and you got my prize bull, Angus. I have your ransom money.
We're only dealing with Jerry. Give me the money.
Give me my bull.
Give me my money.
Give me my bull.
Reaching an impasse, Carl shoots Wade dead, picks up the case, and drives off. Carl arrives back at the hideaway. He finds Grimrod eating a very large steak. Suspiciously large.
Here's your money. Where's your bull?
Hey, easy, yeah?
He gestures to the plate, indicating a large steak.
That was not part of the plan.
I was hungry.
With that, Grimrod pulls out a gun and shoots Carl dead.
How?
Scene 7. Maggie Gunderson is driving towards the kidnapper's hideaway. She reaches a small shack and sees a car and trailer outside. She radios for backup. Your backup needed, yeah, near the lake. I have the suspects, yeah. As this is a quality production on Radio 4, no graphic violence will be broadcast here, and we will skip over the next bit involving a wood chipper. It all turns out okay in the end. Maggie arrests Grimrod, and Jerry's arrested for his part in the kidnap. It all ends happily, apart from the deaths and the bull dying. The end.
Tom, what was your play?
My play was called Farm Here to Eternity.
I think it's me to start, isn't it? There's no preamble, so let's go for it. Cocker doodle doo.
Ah, stupid cockerel. It's not even light yet. Although it does helpfully remind everyone that this is a farm.
Ooh.
What the fuck is that? Sounds like a ghost. Shut up, I've got to plough the blind fields in the morning. Stupid ghost.
Ooh, wake up. need to get this story moving. There are three scripts to get through in this podcast.
Oh, fine. I'll come downstairs and see what's going on. What's happened to my accent? Fucking hell, how did this bloody cow get in my kitchen?
Ooh, I'm a cow ghost.
Oh, I get it now. It's mooing, but like a ghost. Clever. Clever.
Thank you.
So, what kind of ghost are you? Like a Scrooge ghost who makes me change my ways, or a scary ghost that turns the telly on and opens a cupboard and that?
I'm not sure. The last thing I remember was you were standing near me with a big gun thing. And the next thing, I was in here.
Oh, yeah, I'd have shot you in the head then.
What? Why?
To sell you meat, probably.
What? You sold me as meat? Who to? Have I been eaten?
Yeah, probably. Let's have a look. Ah, yeah, you see this red paint all over your ass? That means I sold you for mints.
Why? I thought you were my friend.
Well, your udders packed in and your milk went sour.
Sour? How do you know it was sour? Are you drinking that?
Well, I probably drank a bit. Sold most of it, though.
Wait, you sold milk to perverts who drank it? They drank milk from another species. They don't even know. Why don't you sell them some human milk?
Oh, that's disgusting.
I don't understand. Why can't you just eat grass?
Because you're so delicious.
I am?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I've never been told I was delicious before. I used to get quite badly bullied for being fat, so my self-esteem is quite low.
Well, I love fat cows.
Really?
Yeah, more meat to sell. Tastes nicer too. In fact, show your ass. Ah, yeah, your number's 64. I've actually got a bit of your mints here in the fridge. Do you want to try some?
I don't know. Is it safe?
Well, you're dead. What harm could it do?
That's a good point. When in Rome, I suppose.
Here you go. I made some into burgers earlier.
Oh, that is nice. Oh, you're right. I am delicious. Oh, yeah. Do you have any more? Oh, wait. I feel weird. My spleen is so slurry. I can't stand up.
Warning! Mad cow disease is still a risk. Do not feed beef to cows, even if they're ghosts. This message was brought to you by the British Farming Association. No cows were harmed during this recording, apart from the one that we killed and intentionally fed beef to so it would get mad cow disease and then die. I have no words. I do have points, but I'm not going to reveal what points anybody gets during round two for the purposes of fudging it later on if anybody pulls too far ahead. So let's go straight over to Adam Tumber and ask what play title I gave you.
I will be delivering for you tonight Farmadeus.
The year is 1773. In France, Charles Messier discovers the Whirlpool Galaxy, 23 million light-years away, and in the New World settlement of Boston, colonists in fancy dress accidentally dump some tea into the harbour. We take you now to a small holding outside of the city of Salzburg.
Constanza, Liebchen, I've finally done it.
What is it, my love? What are you doing to those sheep?
It's not what it looks like, dear. I finally created my requiem.
Wolfie, darling. This is just a flock of sheep corralled into a wooden frame. That is not a requiem.
To the untrained eye, perhaps, but listen to this.
Hang on, I've forgotten how it goes again.
Ba 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 ba. As I depress the keys on this clavier, it causes a small jolt to be applied to each sheep, eliciting the correct sound.
It's something, dear. But how will you make money from this? You don't want to end up in a pauper's grave.
Next week, the Emperor himself is holding open auditions for Austro-Hungary's Got Talent. I plan to take the sheepophone and with his patronage build my fortune.
Good evening. Did somebody say fortune?
Antonio, how are you? Come on in and have a Vienna as well. They've actually nothing to do with our capital city and have been popularised by Mr. Kipling.
Don't mind if I do. I'm very well, thank you, but I hear wonderful things about your new invention, Mozart. Tell me, will it be as successful as that twinkle, twinkle little star melody of yours?
Was the last time. That is a French folk tune, and I'm not due to do some variations on it for a few years yet. Antonio, I've been meaning to ask. My horse and cart failed its MOT. Would you help me transport my sheepophone to the Emperor's palace?
Why, Mozart, of course. I'd be happy to help. I'll be round in the morning to collect them, and I'll meet you in Vienna. I'll help him, all right. I'll help that undeserving pony be humiliated.
Mozart, darling, it's enchanting to see you. Tell me, will you be performing tonight?
Oh, Countess, I could not possibly tell you. It would ruin the surprise.
Mozart, there you are. I've overseen the installation. Everything is ready.
Salieri, please don't interrupt me in front of the Countess.
Please, welcome to the stage. Our next act, it's Mozart's.
What is this? It sounds like the music of a death march.
These are not my sheep. Where are my Vornimar sheep? They have become the dominant breed in the island nation of New Zealand, which was explored by James Cook very recently in 1769.
Finally, I'd expose you for the charlatan you are. A laughing stock.
You may have ruined me, Salieri, but my legacy shall outlast anything you create. You shall be reduced to a bit part player in a parlor game.
So before I reveal the scores for that round, I do have the difficult decision of to whom to give 5 bonus acting points. And I do believe that on aggregate across all 3 plays, Kerry Robinson was the least bad doer of accents.
Oh, thank you.
It's time for me now to do some maths, so do talk amongst yourselves.
While Sam does some maths, we'll hand over now to the shipping forecast. Viking, north at Sierra, moderate or good?
Oh, this is
14th,
the good stuff.
Raising westerly.
Stop trying to turn me on when I'm doing maths. The scores look something like this. Bringing up the rear on a very respectable 32, it's Tom Solon. Slightly ahead, it's Kerry Robinson on 37. And only 1 point ahead of that on 38. It's all to play for as we go into round 3, because I'm so arbitrary with the points. It's Adam Tumba!
It's time for this week's attempt at a third round.
It's nearly the end of the show, and we're almost at the point where we find out which of our candidates will advise on the archers, and which will drown their sorrows in archers, brackets the peach schnapps drink that was popular with girls in the early 2000s. Before we finish up, though, there's a chance to score some final points in our farming-themed quickfire round. So let's go! Tell the candidates that you won't be doing that joke about editing out the massive gaps but leaving in you reading in that bit, because it's never caught on, and frankly, you'll be glad not to have to do another variation of it after this series ends. Tom, when was the last time you saw a tractor?
I don't think I've ever seen a tractor.
I don't know what to do with that information.
No, no.
Have you really never seen a tractor?
I have seen a tractor, but I just couldn't think of a better.
Yeah, fair enough. Adam, when have you last seen a tractor?
It will have been at the last cricket game of the season last summer, because our cricket ground is on a little country lane. So you go along there, and people always park the cars outside the cricket ground, but they try and park it in a very specific place to avoid the ball hitting the car. But unfortunately, that very specific place is always without fail in the way of a tractor, which means we have to suspend the game while we figure out whose car is in the way.
Kerry, do you have a less boring story about when you last saw a tractor?
Probably in 2019 when we went to Green Man Festival, because it's out in countryside.
Oh, see, I love Green Man, so you're getting a point. Adam, what happened to the magic tractor?
Unfortunately, it told its secrets to a whole load of other tractors, and it was thrown out of the magic tractor circle.
Yeah, you can have a point. Back to Tom. What did the pony say when it went to the doctor?
I've just moved round here. How do I register?
That's 2 points. The answer I had on the card was, I'm a little horse, but yours is much better. Adam, what's your favourite farm shop?
I just really love farm shops, and you and Kerry both live quite nearby, so I want to get some good farm shop tips.
I've not been there, but I've heard some very good things about one that's up Green Hammerton way, where you can get some lovely steaks.
Nice, okay. Is that a joke?
No, that's genuine. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it just had the cadence of a joke. Can't always tell with you. Kerry!
There's one in Otway, but I can't remember the name of it, which is really unhelpful.
Yeah,
but they make the best brownies I have ever eaten. And I nearly cried when I was eating it and realised I was coming to the end of the brownie. I was thinking, I don't want this to ever end.
Oh, that sounds lovely. You can have 2 points for somewhere in Otley.
It was incredible. Incredible.
Tom, do you have a favourite farm shop?
Yes, I do. T-Bay Services.
Yes! 5 points. That is exactly what I had on the card.
It's the best farm shop. It's the best services. And a fact, it's twinned with the Gloucester Services. And it's the same company that owns them both. And it's the only... they are the only independent services in Britain, which I don't understand how that works because there are two of them. So I'm not sure how that they can be independent. But that is a fact I know about services.
This is the third episode that T-Bay Services has come up on.
And it's Donald Trump's favourite services.
Yay!
Oh, I'm going to knock points off for Donald Trump's. I don't want my favourite services to be his.
Oh, not that one. Gloucester is his favourite.
Oh, okay, yeah.
T-Bay's his least favourite. Yeah. He never goes there. Hates it. He just drives on straight through to Carlisle.
Even if he really needs a wee.
Yeah.
I went to the school with a guy whose lifetime ambition was to run the services around the M25, as in to be the guy in charge of them. And unfortunately, he didn't quite achieve that mission because all he ended up with was all the moto services in the northeast of England.
Oh, that must be really disappointing.
Moto as well. That's the least good service station.
Moto's the rubbishest one, yeah.
I'd like to think, though, that it just shows that dreams can come true, that this guy wanted to run motorway service stations, and that's what he actually did.
If you want the M62 and you're given the A1 instead.
Got
Jesus.
It. Jesus. Wouldn't you? I want A1, really.
Imagine if your dream was to run a services and you didn't even work at the services, though. That'd be, like, real disappointing, wouldn't it?
So sad, wouldn't you? You would. You'd be so sad.
Adam, cheer us all up with the hidden secret words to the Archers theme tune.
It's time for the Archers. Turn your radios up. Please listen carefully. Here's Eddie Grundy.
3 points. Tom, what's the best thing you've ever cooked?
Oh, the best thing I've ever cooked was a sheep's eye. It was disgusting, but... people did laugh a lot when I ate it.
Okay, I feel like there might be more backstory.
Yeah,
there.
We need more.
That's a 2-pointer right away, but go on.
The story was, I had a sheep's eye and someone did.
Oh, you just had a sheep's... Nobody just has a sheep's eye.
Oh, yeah. What have you got on your fridge? Some sheep's eye?
I was at my dad's 50th birthday party. He had a fancy dress party and the theme was be horrible. All the fancy dresses had to be horrible.
Right.
And he went as a road traffic accident cop. He took a cool box with, like, eyes in it and a shoe that had loads of flesh and a bone sticking out and stuff. And on the way there, I said to my mate, oh, my dad's mates are all really weird. I bet some of them will eat some of that stuff. But I'm staying well away from that because that's disgusting. In an hour, I'd had a sheep's eye and half a heart. It was one of the things I regret the most. And now I'm saying it on a podcast. Really wish I hadn't started that story.
But you're saying it on a podcast for a total of 3 points. So I think that's a worthy trade. Back. Well done.
Also, once I had a wasp eating competition.
What?
That I won 10-9.
10-9?
Yeah.
It went really down to the wire.
Yeah.
Just before the last whistle.
One of my mates owns a brewery, and for his birthday, he organised a piss up in a brewery. And this day, there was loads of wasps, like, honestly, hundreds of wasps. It was like a plague of wasps. And my mate said to me, I dare you to eat a wasp. So I ate a wasp. And then I said, I dare you to eat a wasp, and yeah, a wasp. And then we had a competition, first to 10 wins, and you had to catch and eat your own wasps, and it ended up 10-9. That's the story of that.
Right. What did they taste like?
It just tasted of nothing.
Nothing?
Just nothing.
Wasps are just empty calories. Everybody knows that.
Did you get stung?
No.
I guess you've got to get them in there quick and chomp on them before they get a chance to sting you.
It's got to be Russian roulette anyway. Will I go into anaphylactic shock? Ooh.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did he know if you were allergic to wasps beforehand?
Well, yeah.
I just assume that I wasn't and hope for the best.
Fair enough. What brewery does your mate own?
Dunham Massey Brewery. It's in Dunham Massey.
I don't know it, but as you've heard, this podcast loves supporting independent businesses, so shout out to Dunham Massey Brewery. Tastiest wasps in the northeast.
I can't believe that just got me a point that I met some wasps.
I know. That's amazing.
Welcome to round three, my friend. Kerry. Farms always have evocative and interesting names. So what would you call your farm?
The Farm, after the Liverpudlian band of the 90s.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice, nice. Yeah, that's a point for you. Tom, what are you going to call your farm?
Farm and a Leg.
Farm and a Leg. Lovely, there's a point. Adam.
I'm going to call it the Suit of Farmer.
The what? Suit of Farmer. Yeah, that's a point for you.
Worth waiting for that.
It was worth waiting for.
Tom, complete the song line. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, and on this farm he had some...
wanks. So, don't look in Mr. Farmer's bedroom.
It's worth a point. The answer I have is problems with the tax man over using his supply of untaxed commercial diesel on his personal car when it's intended only for use on farm vehicles such as a tractor or combine harvester. Adam, how many breeds of sheep can you name?
There's Merino, which is very highly prized for its wool. There is, of course, Romney Marsh sheep, which I've mentioned probably three times already in this podcast, which are very hardy beasts from the south of England. I believe there's a Cotswold sheep as well. There is Shaun the sheep.
Not a breed. I'm going to have to cut you off there. Can anybody beat three breeds of sheep? Kerry.
Lady sheep. Boy sheep and baby sheep.
Oh, that is also three breeds of sheep. Tom, how many breeds of sheep can you name?
All of them.
Oh, yeah, that's loads. 2 points. Kerry, which one of your opponents deserves 3 bonus points?
Neither of them. I deserve them all.
Ooh, let's see if that works. Tom, who do you think gets the points?
I think they can have 3 each because I'm a generous giving person.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah.
Adam, who do you think should get the points?
I'm going to go somewhere in the middle. I'm going to say Tom because he's the most generous one of us.
Kerry and Adam, they can have 3 points each. And Tom, you can have 4 for being such a lovely boy.
Yes, my plan worked perfectly.
So that's the end of the quickfire round. There's just one question for all of you because this is still nominally a job interview. Do you have any questions for me?
Yes, I'd like to ask, will I have access to the same kind of Foley stage that the Archers has? By which, of course, I can bring in animals and actually make the sounds live in the studio.
No, actually, I think you'll find the Archers Foley is actually done live by a lady who walks around the studio. I read an article about the Archers recently and it really stuck with me. I don't have a funny answer, Adam. Would you like a point? Is that all right?
Yes, please.
Go on then. Off you pop.
Will I have to listen to the Archers?
You will have to listen to the Archers, but only when you go see my mum. Because she always has it on in the background. Okay. 2 points to you, Kerry.
What is the Archers?
The Archers is the world's longest running serial drama, available on BBC Radio 4 at 7 p.m. and 2 p.m. weekdays, omnibus Sunday mornings at about 10-ish.
I'd like to ask whether I will be, as part of my role, asked to go and judge the amusing shaped vegetable competitions.
I don't think you'll see any more amusingly shaped vegetables than the ones in front of you on this Zoom call. 2 points to the host.
Yep, ding.
Yeah, ding to you.
So, there we are. That is the end of the round, and indeed our show, and indeed, our series. The points have been jotted up, and it's time to find out who is our Farmer Giles and who are our tins of Tate and Lyles. By which I mean thick, but sweet. On 48 points, bringing up the rear, always a pleasure to have her on the show, it's Kerry Robinson. Only 1 point ahead of that, on 49 points, we have our second place. Our winner tonight has pulled out ahead to 52 points. Second place is Adam Tumba. Our winner tonight, Tom Solon.
Oh my God.
Congratulations, Tom.
It's the wasps that did it.
Terrifying wasp anecdote, got you those final points. Now is the time for you to make your celebratory acceptance speech.
I can't believe I won that. I thought I was last for sure.
Either. I tried to rig it so you weren't too far behind because I felt sorry for you. And then Maui the wasp story the pulled you out into the lead.
Do you know what won that? Eating wasps and being polite.
Yeah.
And that's a lesson we can all learn. Tom, is there anything you'd like to plug to our legions of listeners?
Not really. I don't really do stand-up or anything. Oh, I know what I want to plug. I've just moved into my new house. So if anyone would like to come round and see it, then that'd be nice. Because I've not had many visitors. I'd like to plug this episode of this podcast. Because it's very rare that I win things. So I would like people to listen to this again. And go on the journey again of someone coming from so far behind to win.
Kerry and Adam, you are losers.
Yeah.
I didn't have time to write a funny joke about that this week. You're just losers. Anything you'd like to plug?
I've got a real gig in May.
Have you?
Yeah, I have. I don't know where it is, though.
All right.
I just know I've got a real gig in May.
If you live near a venue anywhere in the UK, please check in.
It's in Middlesbrough. It's in Middlesbrough. I know that much.
Adam, do you have anything you would like to plug?
I'd just like to say I'm available for all podcasts, both in ideas and guest spots, because I'd love to do a podcast myself, but I can't think of a decent premise. I've been searching. I haven't found one here, but...
Listen, by the time this podcast comes out, Adam and Kerry will both be back on the circuit, giving out laughs. Brap, brap, brap. Go see them. They are well good. I can't turn the page on my script. There we go. Oh, didn't need to. So all that's left is for me to say goodbye from Tom, Adam, Kerry, and of course our dead studio audience, who perhaps now will leave me alone, and hope you'll join us again next time for another series of Inform, Educate, Entertain!
That was Inform, Educate, Entertain, starring Sam Wilkinson with special guests Kerry Robinson, Adam Tumber, and Tom Solon, and, previously this series, Jack Vincent, Emma Crossland, Becky Heaviside, Silky, Chris Booker, Helen Swallow, Stacey Miller, Peter Buckley-Hill, Tegan Mara, Laura Ollerton, Iris Beck, Ian Crawford, Jack Shannick, and Rebecca Turner!
Oh, just did it.
Chair script was written by Sam Wilkinson, the programme was edited by Sam Wilkinson, and Sam Wilkinson had a jolly lovely time with the whole thing. He hopes you did too. See you for series 2. It was a fictional production company production for IEE and the Internet. TTFN!